church. Let's take our Bibles, please, and turn to the book of 1 Samuel, please. 1 Samuel, chapter 25. 1 Samuel, chapter 25. Once again, for all those that were involved in the ladies' outreach yesterday, thank you, thank you, thank you for your labor of love and co-laboring with my dear and wonderful and only wife. And it was a wonderful day. And plenty of visitors, and thank you for all those of you that invited somebody along. Let's pray that God will use that time. Each visitor received a invitation to the Christmas services and a bulletin. So please pray that individuals will better follow up on their visitor to that special outreach occasion. So once again, thank you for all those that were involved in the day yesterday. 1 Samuel chapter 25. My text is found in verse number 1. I'm just going to preach on three words. Here in verse number 1, I'd like for us to deal with an issue, what I call the grave, dealing with the grave. I'd like for us to read the three first verses out of verse number 1, and then we'll pray. And Samuel died. Let me read it one more time just in case you missed it. And Samuel died. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the fact that you are our rock of ages and that we can hide ourselves in thee. And we ask and pray as we take a few moments this evening to study your word once again. I pray, Holy Spirit of God, that you would lead us into truth and that you would glorify the Lord Jesus. Teach us this evening, Lord God. Equip us, strengthen us. In the name of Jesus Christ, we do pray. Amen. So my text this evening is, and Samuel die. This chapter, chapter 25 of 1 Samuel, is an intermission in the continuing saga of David fleeing from Saul. At the end of chapter 24, we noted there in verse 22, after David makes a commitment to Saul to preserve his family, the Bible reads in verse 22 of chapter 24, and Saul went home. But David and his men gat them up unto the hole. And what is simply meant by that little last phrase is that I'm sure David wanted to believe that reconciliation had taken place. And we studied the conversation between David and Saul last week from verses 8 until the end of chapter 24. And yet the conversation ends with Saul just simply departing. And the Bible very emphatically and very clearly and definitely reads, and Saul went home. And I would like to think and believe that David wanted to honestly believe that there was some reconciliation that had taken place. But yet, there was no doubt something within his heart that said, well, maybe not. So Saul goes home and David goes further into hiding. And it's with this in mind, the new chapter begins with these words, and Samuel died. This chapter is an intermission in the saga that is prevailing to date in which King Saul is trying to kill David. And I would like to address an area that all of us must deal with in the Christian life. and in our service for the Lord. And I refer to this with the title of our sermon, Dealing with the Grave. Dealing with the grave. Now, more specifically, dealing with Samuel's grave. The chapter begins with that statement, and Samuel died. So this chapter begins with the record of Samuel's death. Now this would have been a very sad moment for David. Samuel was David's mentor. Samuel was the man that anointed David king. But also Samuel was a man of God that encouraged David. David has not only lost a friend, he has lost a fortress that he could run to in time of great testing. This man Samuel was no ordinary individual. He was a great man of God. I'd like for us to take a moment and just review the life of David. Pardon me, the life of Samuel. And this might help us to appreciate that simple statement, and Samuel died, and what that meant, must have meant to David. Samuel was a man that was dedicated from birth. If you go back to 1 Samuel, please, chapter 1, verses 27 and 28. Hannah prays for a child and makes a commitment to her God that if God would answer her cry, that she would devote that child to God's service. And note here in verse 27 and 28, for this child I pray, and the Lord hath given me my petition which I asked of him. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord. And he worshipped the Lord there. Samuel's life was a life of dedication which began with a godly mother that surrendered the life of her child to Almighty God. Samuel lived a dedicated life. Also, Samuel demonstrated surrender. He demonstrates a surrendered life. We see this in the life of Samuel. Go to chapter 3, please. 1 Samuel, verses 1 to 4. Then the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. And the word of the Lord was precious in those days, and there was no open vision. And it came to pass at that time when Eli was laid down in his place and his eyes began to wax dim, that he could not see. And ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep. And the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, Here am I. And we see this occurrence some three times within this chapter. And note then verse 19, please, of this chapter. And Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and did let none of his words fall to the ground. We see within the life of Samuel dedication. We see within the life of Samuel surrender. We see within the life of Samuel also diligence. Diligence in serving the Lord. Go to chapter 8, please. Chapter 8, verses 4 to 6 of 1 Samuel. We see diligence. He diligently served the Lord as a prophet, as they judge, and was also instrumental in the establishment of the monarchy. Here in chapter 8, verses 4 to 6, it reads, "And all the elders of Israel gathered themselves together and came to Samuel unto Ramah, and said unto him, Behold, thou art old, and thy sons walk not in thy ways. Now make us a king to judge us like all the nations. For the thing displeased Samuel when they said, Give us a king to judge us. And Samuel prayed unto the Lord." Certainly Samuel wasn't perfect in any way. Unfortunately, his children didn't go on to serve the Lord. But Samuel as an individual, as a mentor, as a father, was diligent in his service to the Lord. He was diligent in his office as a prophet. He was diligent in his office as a judge amongst God's people. And he was diligent to bring before Almighty God the request of God's people for a king. Diligence was evident in the life of Samuel. Then in chapter 10, please, verse number 1. The Bible records the anointing of Saul, the first king of Israel. "And Samuel took a vial of oil and poured it upon his head and kissed him and said, Is it not because the Lord hath anointed thee to be captain over the inheritance?" And Samuel continues to serve the Lord, a consistent life, a man of God. A man of God that was diligent in prayer. A man of God that wasn't a coward. A man of God that was bold to even confront disobedience in the life of this king by the name of Saul. Go to chapter 12, please, verses 22 to 25. "And Samuel said before God's people here, For the Lord will not forsake his people for his great name's sake, because it hath pleased the Lord to make you his people." Note verse 23, please. "Moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. But I will teach you the good and the right way. Only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all your heart. For consider how great things he hath done for you. But if ye shall still do wickedly, ye shall be consumed, both ye and your king." What boldness. What a man of God we find in the life of this Samuel. A man that faithfully served the Lord, was consistent, and was prepared to speak the word of God. A man of prayer. A man that was willing to rebuke ungodliness. 1 Samuel chapter 16, please. Verse 13, we find that Samuel anoints David king, the next king of Israel. "Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. And so Samuel rose up and went to Ramah." Now also go to chapter 19, please, of 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 19, verse 18. Note, "So David fled and escaped and came to Samuel to Ramah and told him all that Saul had done to him. And he and Samuel went and dwelt in Naoth." So we find that Samuel not only anointed David king, but also he was actively encouraging him from time to time. Samuel was a highly respected individual. Even though his instructions were not followed by God's people, he was highly respected. Go back to 1 Samuel chapter 25, please, verse 1. The Bible reads there, "And Samuel died, and all the Israelites were gathered together." It's amazing who will turn up at your funeral. You'll be amazed. Just store that away. Now, you won't be there to greet them, but you'll see it all from glory if you're a redeemed child of God. But it's amazing who turns up at funerals. And I've been amazed at some of the characters that have turned up at some funerals. And it's amazing that God's people had little regard for Samuel, and yet they all turn up at his funeral. And I think that's just a funny thing. I think it's a bit unusual. People tend to turn up at funerals. People that have had no dealings with you, you'll be amazed who will, well, you probably won't bother you, but it'll be an amazing thing. If hypothetically, if someone was to communicate back to you who was at your funeral, so you'd be shocked. You realize so-and-so was at your funeral? You'd be shocked. See? And here's Samuel. They had little regard for his life and ministry overall. And yet the Bible teaches us they all assemble to lament his departure. And no doubt agreed with the eulogy. Oh yes, that's true, that's right. Yes, Samuel, what a great man of God. Man of prayer, yeah, he preached the word of God. Oh yeah, he was a great man. He was faithful. He was diligent. And all of these very ones that had no real regard for the man during his life, all of a sudden sing his praises. Just an amazing thing. See, Samuel goes into obscurity. The reason being is that predominantly God's people had no regard for him. That's why you don't read much of Samuel beyond the anointing of David as the new king. Samuel was a highly respected individual. He was a humble man. Note there that verse 1 goes on to read, they buried him in his house at Ramah. What that means is that he was buried on his land. It doesn't literally mean they buried him in literal four walls of his house. Samuel wasn't after recognition. Samuel was a great man of God. He was buried on his own property, as opposed to some famous site. This speaks of humility. He wasn't after recognition. And the death of Samuel is inserted here simply because it occurs at this time. And as one man said, the fact that all Israel assembled together to his burial and lamented him and mourned for him was a sign that his labors as a prophet were recognized by the whole nation. Since the days of Moses and Joshua, no man had arisen to whom the covenant nation owed so much to as to Samuel. They buried him in his own house at Ramah. It's a pity they didn't follow his instructions to the letter. And it's by no coincidence that we read here in chapter 25 that Samuel dies. And in relation to David, Samuel was his hero. I believe that. Samuel was a true hero in the biblical sense. And here is David running from Saul with 600 men. And yet his very chief mentor dies. Samuel was a spiritual hero. He lived with integrity and was faithful in his calling. Yes, he wasn't perfect. He had children that were wayward. But yet, as far as the man Samuel, he was a great man of God. And I think God has placed this reference right here for a very reason. And the reason being is that you and I, as God's people, in our service for the Lord, we must deal with the grave. We must prepare to deal with Samuel's grave, especially. May I submit to you this evening that we We must choose our heroes carefully. Young people, choose your heroes carefully. May the people that you call a hero be one like Samuel of old. Don't go making heroes, teenagers, of reprobates. Reprobates within the music industry. Reprobates within the sports industry. Reprobates within the media. Don't make heroes of these individuals. Make heroes of men and women that love God. Make heroes of people like Samuel of old that love God with all of their being. Don't consider some godless sports character a hero when you know full well they live the life of the devil. I noticed that during the World Cup that Maradona, the captain, coach, he's too old to play, of Argentina, made a commitment that if Argentina would win the World Cup, he made a promise before that nation that he would parade naked down the main street of their main city. What a godless fool. What a godless fool. A drug addict, a godless fool. Teenagers, you boys that like soccer, don't give such reprobates any honor whatsoever. Drug addicts, immoral, infidel, do not deserve the recognition of humanity today. They do not deserve such recognition. Don't idolize these characters. Yes, but Pastor, he was a good soccer player. But there's more to it than that. He was a reprobate. He's a drug addict. He's immoral. Don't idolize such characters. Choose your heroes, teenagers. There's nothing wrong with liking soccer. You boys that like soccer, that's okay. But you be careful who you call a hero. You be careful. Samuel was a real hero. Why? Because he loved God. Children, your parents that love God and keep you in church and pray for you, they're real heroes. Your spiritual leaders that love you and teach you the Word of God, they are real heroes. These boards back here, these are real heroes. These are heroes. And parents, may we train our children to make heroes of those that are worthy of being a hero. Samuel was a real hero. He was worthy of respect. David loved Samuel. Samuel died. My friend, death is imminent for all, the righteous and the unrighteous. Samuel dies, but nasty Saul is still alive. Doesn't seem fair, does it? Why does God allow that at times? Why is it that God, from time to time, surprise us concerning whom he takes home? I believe there's a lesson for us in that. And that is we need to deal with Samuel's grave. See, David was at a critical point in his life, fleeing from Saul. He had a mentor in Samuel. And yet God chooses in his infinite wisdom and perfect timing to take Samuel home. See, death is imminent for all. This must have been a surprise to David. There is no evidence from Scripture. There is no evidence within the Bible that Samuel was sickly. It just reads, and Samuel died. The Bible doesn't say he had cancer. The Bible doesn't say he had some disease. He was on his way out. Says zilch. But Samuel died. His greatest anchor in life, from a human perspective, outside of Jonathan, of course, but more so than Jonathan, because this was someone that was way before him, was a signpost for him. And whether we admit it or not, we all rest upon others to a point. And God in His wisdom, from time to time, will take those individuals from us. Because ultimately, we must all learn to trust in the Lord. Are you listening to me this evening? David's mentor is gone. What was David to do now? Keep going. Keep going. When God takes your role model, when God takes your role model, God wants us to keep going. The Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 11:1, follow me as I follow Christ. And I believe the very reason why God chose to take Samuel at this point of time is for our edification. And the fact is true, and it's a reality of life. It's appointed unto man once to die, the righteous and the unrighteous. Life is like a vapor. Boast not thyself of tomorrow. Death is imminent for all, my friend. For the righteous and also the unrighteous. And yes, from time to time, God will take the righteous home before the unrighteous. That's a fact of life. We don't want to dwell there. But that's a reality, is it not? That's a reality of life. And I think the reason why the Bible reads and Samuel died, because God is trying to teach us, as God, the Spirit of God, taught me as I read that, and I'm wondering, why is this here? What has this got to do with David's struggle with Saul? And the Spirit of God just simply spoke to my heart and said, my son, when I choose to take your mentors home, you just keep going. And I thought of people like Pastor Matthews. I thought of people like Pastor Hester. I thought of people like David Cloud. These are heroes to me. I thought about some of these missionaries. And the Spirit of God just ministered to my heart, and I walked the altar in the quietness of my heart, and as I got the message from the Lord, and the message was very simple, don't stumble at the grave. Don't stumble at Samuel's grave. When God chooses to take your mentor from you, or a mentor out of your life, that is not a reason to stumble, but may we keep going for God's glory. Because God might see fit to take your hero from you. What are you going to do with it? Some stumble. I've seen it happen over the years. But God chooses to take a good Christian home. And I've seen the effects of that. The negative effect. And I think God is trying to teach us from the life of David that by the departure of Samuel, that God wants us to press forward. Don't stumble at the grave. In Hebrews chapter 12, please, for a moment. Hebrews chapter 12. Don't stumble at the grave, my friend. When God chooses to take out of your life that mentor or those mentors that have been a strength to you, keep pressing forward. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, when our mentors are promoted to the grandstand of heaven, once upon a time they were involved in the field. But when promotion comes, we need to be mindful of that great cloud of witnesses. And this should motivate us, as it reads in verse 1, to lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. There's a difference between the weight and the sin. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Looking unto who? To that cloud of witnesses? No, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Some of our mentors will be taken from us in due course. Some of our mentors might stumble. What are you going to do with it? How will you respond? Are you going to throw in the towel and say, well, I'm going to do as I please now? He stumbled. Christian life's not worth it. Well, how many of God's people find themselves confused and disillusioned when God sees fit to take a mentor home? My friend, the grave is a reality of life. And the grave might engulf one of your mentors. And we must keep going. When God takes a spiritual pillar out of your life, we must keep going. Whether it be a friend, whether it be a parent, whether it be a spouse, a leader, brethren, we need to keep going. And I believe the reason why it reads here in 1 Samuel 25, verse 1, and Samuel died, because God is trying to teach us, no matter who goes before us, and no matter what God allows into their lives, we need to keep going. We need to press forward. Let's not stumble with Samuel's grave. Let's deal with the grave. It's a reality. And I'm so thankful to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord as a Bible-believing Christian. And ultimately, though we look at signposts, we look at heroes spiritually in our lives to help us to see Christ. That's not where our faith is. That's not where our faith is. Children, listen to me. If God sees fit to take one of your parents home, what are you going to do with it? Are you going to keep going for the Lord? Married couples, if God sees fit to take your spouse home, what are you going to do with it? Are you going to keep going? If God sees fit to take someone out of your life that was dear and special to you, what are you going to do with it? The death of Samuel was no doubt a huge loss for David. That's why the Bible records that he goes further into hiding. He went and arose, the Bible says, David arose in verse 1 and went down to the wilderness of Paran. He went further into hiding. Why? Because Saul must have felt some restraint with Samuel being around. He must have. He had a conscience. Samuel's life and ministry, no doubt, was a little bit of a rebuke, some rebuke to Saul. But now Saul realizes that Samuel's gone. David realizes Samuel's gone. And no doubt David realizes now Saul has greater liberty because part of his conscience is gone. So it's no coincidence that David goes further into hiding here. In verse 1. David knows this fact. And my friend, we need to, like David of old, lean fully upon the Lord. And though we look to the brethren, though we look to mentors in our lives, ultimately all of us need to keep our eyes upon the Lord. And if God sees fit to take one of your spiritual examples home, may I charge you this evening, keep going on for the Lord. If I do something stupid, you keep going on for the Lord. If God sees fit to just take me home and I have no guarantee that I'll be here this time next year, neither do you. Nobody does. Nobody does. But may God help us all to be a light and an example. May God help us all to live the Christ life and be a signpost for others that will come after us. And as all of us have people that we look to spiritually, may God help us to keep going. May God help us to keep going. See, life is all about Jesus Christ. He must be our pillar. He must be our life. And I think it's no coincidence that Samuel dies right at this point. Death is never convenient. Have you noticed that? It doesn't seem to come at a convenient time for anybody. Is there a convenient time for death? Of course there's not. But it will come. Dealing with the grave. And I've seen this over the years. People stumble because that mentor's gone. May God help us to deal with Samuel's grave and keep going forward. And I think this is what God was teaching David. Okay. And Samuel died. That's it. It's amazing, you know, when you read of the death of great individuals, not much is said. And Samuel died. And Moses died. And Joshua died. But in contrast, the life of Christ, there is much said surrounding his death. And rightfully so, it teaches us the very valuable lesson that really, we are nothing compared to God. And our focus needs to be upon the Lord. Dealing with the grave. Dealing with Samuel's grave. And may God help us to keep our eyes upon the Lord. And no matter who goes before us to glory, may God help us just to keep going. Are you listening to me? Keep going. I think that's what God was trying to teach David. I know you're in a pickle. I know you're not liked by the king. But I'm going to teach you, David, to rely on me more so. I'm going to take your hero, your mentor, I'm going to take him from you right now. In your eyes and in my eyes, it doesn't make sense. This is when David needed Samuel, did he not? Did he not? If you had a say in the matter, and if God was to ask you, now what would you recommend as to when I should take Samuel home? I would guess that most of us would say, now, dear Lord, my suggestion would be when Saul is off the scene and David is king and established in the kingdom, I think that will be a convenient time to take your son Samuel home. Wouldn't you suggest that? I would. But our ways are not God's ways. For a reason. Because God wants us to ultimately rest upon the Lord. Amen. So children, listen to me. Let me see your eyeballs. Amen. Let me see your eyeballs. Amen. If God sees fit to take your heroes home, your spiritual heroes, I'll rejoice when Maradona steps into eternity. I really will. Hope he gets saved before he steps into eternity. Amen. Some filthy reprobates like that don't deserve to live or influence young people. For you young people, you have godly heroes. And when God sees fit to take your godly heroes from you, you keep going for the Lord. You keep pressing forward for the Lord. Don't quit. Don't stumble. Don't stumble with Samuel's grave. And all of God's people said, let's stand, please.